It inevitably comes up when I am speaking to a group of mothers and daughters. What about the hormonal birth control pill, also known as the pill? I want to talk about why this is ever good health care and why I would never give it to my daughters.
Welcome to Health and Hormones. I am your host, Rita Johnson. Here we talk about all things related to health, hormones, natural living, and those amazing bodies that God has given you and how to take care of them better. I'm so glad you're here.
Oftentimes when we take our girls to the doctor's office, well-intentioned medical providers will suggest that we put them on hormonal birth control pill. The reason may be because they want to help them reduce symptoms. Maybe they're having really painful periods, heavy cramps. Perhaps they're not having regular periods, and so they're trying to regulate their cycles. And so they'll suggest hormonal birth control pills. So basically, let's just talk for a minute about what hormonal birth control is doing, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of why I would never take them up on this advice. So basically, hormonal birth control is basically a 4-week cycle of pills. So it's a 28-day cycle. The first 3 weeks are a steady stream of estrogen and progesterone, artificial estrogen and progesterone. And then there is a week that is essentially just a placebo pill. They found when they didn't have the placebo pill that there was lower compliance, and so they weren't noticing the impact in terms of changes to their cycles, but also they weren't noticing an impact in terms of the ability of the pill to prevent pregnancy. And so there is this twofold thing going on here, right? Especially when we're bringing our teenagers in. The first is what we're bringing them in for. And even this is where even well-intentioned doctors may get tripped up. You may have a doctor that says, oh, I would never prescribe birth control to avoid pregnancy. However, your daughter has these medical issues, we can use it for that. And then saying that that is morally licit. There may also be the second fold reason behind them prescribing the pill is because there's an assumption that teenagers are going to be promiscuous. And so if they're going to be promiscuous anyway, well, then let's just be sure and give them the pill so that no out of marriage pregnancies result from that promiscuity. Obviously, there's a lot of us that say, no, I demand a higher standard of my healthcare and for my children. And so that second reason is one that would be not something we're willing to entertain. However, a lot of times, if the only option we're given, we have a little girl in pain, is to take this pill that's going to shut down her system, then we will be on board with that, right? At least to navigate helping to reduce symptoms. And this is what I see a lot. I see this happen a lot where these young girls are on the pill for maybe 6 months, maybe a couple of years to alleviate some of the pain around their cycle so that they can operate normally all month long, which is something that we should be able to give our girls. So let's talk a little bit more about the intricacies of the hormonal birth control, especially in regards to teenage girls is what I'm going to talk about. However, this would definitely apply to any age woman that's having issues with her cycles, with her hormones, or with something that's going on with her period. So anytime a young girl under the age of 25 takes hormonal birth control, they've actually found now with research that it changes our, I believe it's the frontal lobe, but it's basically where we're making decisions, is the area of the brain that is noticing the biggest changes. So that's still developing in our teenage years until about the age of 25. I like to joke about my teenagers as they're just not done cooking yet. Their brain is still maturing and developing. And this is how we can sometimes see this come out if they were taking a pill that was interacting with that part of their brain and preventing it from being able to mature. It can actually stunt it. And long term, they used to think that eventually the brain would catch up, but it's such a critical window of time for brain development that that's not the case. They're now seeing that if a young girl takes hormonal birth control, it will forever change that part of her brain. And to such an extent that who we choose for a partner when we're looking to get married, as we are making decisions, all of the functional things we have to do as adults, it's going to change that. And so this is a really critical thing to not overlook. Why would we not give our daughters hormonal birth control? This is a big reason why. Another reason, going back to what the hormonal birth control is, it's essentially shutting our cycles down. In the teenage years, the menstrual cycle is just beginning to work, right? It's starting to chug along and trying to get consistent ovulation, consistent menstruation, consistent hormonal patterns. And if we instead override that and shut that down, it's going to be more difficult to get that system working long term. Another thing is that it may be addressing those symptoms initially, but it is not solving any problems. So if your daughter goes because she's having really heavy periods, it is going to make her period, quote, lighter. However, it's not actually a period. If you remember going back to when I said it's 3 weeks of consistent hormones and then 1 week of a withdrawal period, a withdrawal bleed. So that means that the hormones have stopped, and so you will naturally bleed at that time, but it is not from the menstrual lining getting thick and then shedding and then growing a new one again. That system has been shut down. So it really just makes us feel better emotionally, mentally, to see that we're still menstruating even though we're on the pill. When they first started coming out with the hormonal birth control pill, they basically like played around with this. Can we just not have any periods? That would be great if we just didn't even do that at all. But they found that women were less likely to take the pill because they were not having a bleed. They felt better about what was going on with their body. They felt as if it was normalizing their body by having a monthly menstruation. And so they went back to doing that 1 week placebo pill for that reason. Which is just wild to me. That's absolutely crazy. So it's basically just makes us feel a little better and gets us to be more compliant by taking the pill that they're prescribing to us. Another thing I want you to be mindful of is that the hormonal birth control pill is a group 1 carcinogen. That means they know it causes cancer, and yet they still advertise it as reducing cancer because they have found through research that there is a slight reduction in the risk of ovarian cancer when you're on the hormonal birth control pill. However, the risks for breast cancer and endometrial cancer skyrocket when you take hormonal birth control pill. So this is critical to know. This is a group 1 carcinogen, just like asbestos, just like arsenic. We would never let our daughters ingest these things on a daily basis. So why would we do this in this arena? A lot of times I think, again, going back to really well-intentioned doctors, is they don't have the tools in their toolbox to be able to help your daughter navigate through pain with her period, PMS symptoms that are crippling or debilitating or changing her life. They, in their heart of hearts, want to give her something that is going to help make her life improve her quality of life. But this is what they're given. This is what med school is training our physicians to give to us, to women that are having issues with our cycles. And unfortunately, it's no better at the OB's office. A lot of times this is very typical there too. So what are some options? I highly recommend that you seek out a physician that's trained in NAPRO, it's NAPRO technology, or FEMM, FEMM. I'll put the links in the description to this podcast episode. There are a lot of things that they can do. They have been equipped in restorative reproductive medicine. Any doctor that has been trained in restorative reproductive medicine is looking more at the function of your hormonal system. How can we support your hormones? What are some of those precursor systems, other things we need to dive into and look at. Functional medicine is another great option here, especially those that specialize in cycle charting, which I will tell you is not super common in the functional medicine space yet. I'm hoping that is on the rise, but that is something that when we do incorporate charting our cycles, seeing where is the dysfunction in the cycle and diving deeper into those systems, that can make a big difference. If you want information on what this would look like, I would recommend you sign up for a free discovery call with me. I'd love to help you troubleshoot this any way that I can, especially with these young girls. Sometimes it is just a 15-minute conversation that can really get them moving forward and feeling better.